can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Now, Rocket, you mightn't have been up to this in the sabbatical you took when you got the shits because you didn't come in, but Don and I have been on about this. We like to give updates about the iCook Foods saga, which the government have rorted a private enterprise business out of business. That's our contention. It is the contention of very learned and very learned people and ex-police. And we are now have got Ian Cook in himself, along with Rob Porter, a retired... Rod Porter. I had Rod written down. See, look.
Okay, come on.
Rod. Oh, it's if we're going to interview people, it's a good idea to give them the courtesy of getting their names right, okay? So it's Rod Porter, a retired inspector of police, and Paul Brady, retired detective sergeant. And they are in here with the principal of iCook Foods, Ian Cook. Now, Ian, just give us an opening statement about where we're up to, and if you could speak into the microphone, please. I've got some questions to ask both these gentlemen here.
Yeah, so...
speak into the microphone, please, Ian.
No. You are a control freak.
Well, we want people to hear him.
Thank you, Sam. Yes, I'll speak into the microphone. We're up to. So I think, we're looking at the similarities between, you know, red shirts and police cover-ups and...
Corruption.
And the cover-up for iCook Foods. I think the thing that I would like to get out at the moment is that we have quite a few, and I'm talking about senior people in the police force, active members. Now, they don't want to be named, obviously, but there's a number of things that they've told us. First, we've been told that our matter's going nowhere. It's going to be buried.
Really?
Yeah. That's just...
That's disgraceful.
It is disgraceful. You're right, Don. Jeez. You know, if you make a complaint, a legitimate complaint, are they telling me that not only the two guys you've got in here today, but other retired police who've seen the evidence and QCs and barristers who've all seen it and said, there are crimes here, that this complaint goes nowhere?
Who has told you that?
Serving police officer. Look, I'd love to tell you their names, but the way it works at the moment...
But hang on, didn't Shane Patton come out months ago and say they were investigating? He said it on air.
Yes.
And somebody told me that he was being interviewed the other day. Now, this is all secondhand. You can confirm this. Somebody rang in and asked for an update on iCook Food situation. What was his reply? Do you remember him being interviewed?
Well, so the first time he said that it was with the Assistant Commissioner for South East, so that's Danny Nong, where apparently they originally had a conflict of interest. Then the second interview, you're right.
Last week's interview.
The one last week, they rang. Someone rang in and asked him for an update, somebody... out of the country, I believe, that was following the story.
Yeah.
And the response there was that we are going to... that they'd done the 17 statements, 4 search warrants, but they were saying... He was saying that they were sending it off now for legal advice.
Oh,
Ian, before we lose the gravity of what you just said, you have been told, whether you mention the name or not, and I'll just get your opinion on this in a minute, Rod... you've been told that this matter is going to be swept under the carpet officially, and as we've said all along, we're going to hope that they're going to just run the time clock out and it's just going to amount to nothing. Now, Rod Porter, you are a retired inspector of police. Could this possibly happen in a democratically run country? In the Western world, this is not some third world... tin pot country. Could this possibly happen if we've got Robert Richter on board, we've got retired detectives and police officers, we've got investigators, can this possibly be swept under the carpet? Rod.
Well, unfortunately, it can be.
What do you...
depending... I suspect that it's been sent to... the Office of Public Prosecutions for a decision Why? I don't know, because there's nothing different about this investigation as opposed to thousands of investigations that go on every day. Why this matter needs to be sent anywhere for a legal opinion is beyond me, because all the evidence is there. The most junior police officer in the Victoria Police Force would have no drama in getting this brief, reading it, understanding it, bringing the suspects in, interviewing them and charging them. It is not complicated. All VicPol have to do is their job, and for some reason, best known to themselves.
If I could ask retired Detective Sergeant Paul Braid, is there any chance, Paul, that you people and Ian have got this wrong and the government have no case to answer at all, and this is just a furphy driven by you people? Is there any chance of this? Because that's got to be the only explanation why they would not go on with this.
If that was the case, Sam, we wouldn't be sitting here today. Well, we wouldn't be sitting here at any other stage either.
But you're retired coppers. This is not how it's meant to work, mate. And if a case and Robert Richter on board, and if this case can be swept after all the evidence under the carpet, what is the point? What is the point of actually having a court of law or laws or courts, or what is the point of having a government answerable to the people?
Well, what's equally as frightening is if this goes to the OPP, and they hit it on the head.
What's the OPP?
Office of Public Prosecution.
There's no right of appeal. You have no one that you can appeal to.
So the government will intimidate people who are on contractual arrangements, and their terms and conditions of those contractual arrangements will be probably do as I say or you won't get renewed. They get intimidated to keep their jobs, and this is how they get around the fact that they are not at arm's length from the government.
You've joined the dots very well.
So what's Robert Richter doing? You're a very learned and capable man. Why isn't he... He is the top, one of the top law overseers of the law in QCs in Australia. He must have some avenue where this is not acceptable.
Right. Personally, I haven't had an audience with Robert over this matter. I know he's working diligently behind the scenes, and we're in...
Doing what?
Well, preparing, first of all, the civil side of things, and then I believe he'll be tackling the criminal side once he's sorted
Ian?
Out the...
Well, I think the important thing to remember is that, yes, Robert Richter is working very hard. He's up to speed. Every time he talks to me about it, he's got his head around it, and he is
Ian,
a very considered and learned man.
I can
tell you what will happen is this. I can't force the public prosecutor to do something.
Can he?
Probably not.
Well, so there we are.
What will happen, I can assure you, these people will be on a stand in a civil case, and he is one of the greatest criminal cross-examiners that Victoria has ever
when?
Seen, probably Australia. Yeah. Well, it's sheeted down for February next year.
February.
Okay, so this is what has to... Hmm? If they bury this...
Thank you, Rocket. Rocket tells me it's November. I just said February. I'm not sure if he thinks so.
It's close. Yeah, sorry, yes. But this shouldn't be buried. What you said before is absolutely right, Sam. We're talking about the separation of powers here, and yet all we're seeing is a government telling the police what to do.
Because they've manipulated the work, the contractual arrangements of their work brief. They've tied that into a contract where they work for the government rather than keep it arm's length from them.
That's right. Okay.
Cleverly.
And so what you have is that means that whoever's put in charge of the police will bow to the political pressure of the party that is in charge that put them there.
If they want to keep their job.
Okay. So let's do this. Let's run a campaign that says 75% of all politicians in a joint sitting of both houses of the Victorian Parliament, they're the ones that elect the new Chief Commissioner or something like that. Where it is not bowing to the political pressure of one group or the other, because every Victorian, every Victorian should be very scared of the idea that their police are told what to do.
Exactly.
Rod or Paul or Ian, can you prove, one of you might like to answer this, can you prove the police are corrupt, the police corruption in the Sluggate affair? Can you prove that the police have corruptly handled the Sluggate affair? Now, this, you might not want to go on the record as saying that. Mind you, you're not mentioning any names. So it's just a general... Can you prove that... This is my question. Can you prove that they have corruptly rorted the Sluggate affair?
If that's a question. If I could answer that, Sam.
Yes.
Well, for a start, it's not our job to defend Victoria Police. It's their job. So as far as it's... So
there's an accusation against the police. It's up to the police to defend that accusation. Is that
absolutely
what you're saying?
Yep. Absolutely it is. So far, you know, I mean, it's been 3 years. 3 years of lies and deals, as far as we're concerned. So it's really up to the Victoria Police and Shane Patton to prove that they're not corrupt.
But I think Ian just said... One of you just said that if the government want to sweep this under the carpet, no one, Robert Richter included, has any official capacity to make this. If they want to make it go away and don't want to investigate it, that's the government's brief, and no one can do anything about it.
Yeah, the problem we got though is that at the moment it just doesn't look good for the police, as far as we're concerned. It looks absolutely dreadful.
I don't think the government are worried about looking dreadful in some of the things that they've done since they've been in power. I don't think they're worried about that.
Anyway, as you know, once people lose trust in the police, there's no coming back, and I think that's what we're seeing at the moment. And you can also throw into the mix Andrews and Sutton, for that matter. Once people lose faith... it's gone, they've lost it, and I think that's where we're at with all this.
But I've got a feeling they don't care. They don't care.
I think someone like Daniel Andrews doesn't care. I mean, look at the front page of the Herald Sun today. Can I, on that matter, by the way, in terms of proving something for you, Sam, we have FOI documents that show senior police did investigations on behalf of John Benny to find out where the investigation against him was going. That's illegal. That going into the LEAP system, these guys will tell
John
you.
Benny is who?
The CEO of the City of Dandenong. When he found out that we had put a complaint in, right, this is what, 2 years, nearly 2 years ago now, when he found out that information, he got senior police to find out where the investigation was going. This is like Jack the Ripper having someone inside Scotland Yard ring him up and say, hey, listen, did they know? Okay. Oh, it's all right, I can go out tonight.
Okay. This is also the tip of the iceberg, isn't it? Because I'm just, as you guys are thinking, this red shirt thing that's been swept under the carpet too, police put charges or wanted to interview MPs, but again, that was just swept aside. So it's probably going in on a lot of other things as well that are not receiving publicity.
Yes, I think, as once was said to me about our matter, it's the I Cook Foods story is a small story that talks about a much, much bigger story in Victoria, and that's the level of corruption at local council, CEO, police, I mean, local members. You know, the Minister for Crime or whatever she's called, they're giving $700,000 to community groups in Dandenong to prevent crime. What a joke.
Do you think there should be a thing? They had in Queensland a couple of years ago, I think it was a Fitzgerald inquiry. Do you think a Fitzgerald type inquiry should be conducted in Victoria?
Yes.
I'll ask the two.
Yeah, form. Absolutely.
Rod.
No, go.
Or Paul.
I'll ask both.
Well, that's Rod you're speaking to.
Okay, shut up.
Well, go ahead.
I think there should be a federal investigation into Hull.
Similar to the Fitzgerald inquiry.
Absolutely. Clear the air.
Not only that, Rod, but an inquiry that's completely independent, that has no connection to
anyone
in Victoria.
No, it's not.
Is that possible to be independent?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, have you
sure
got to change the government to do that?
Well, Federal Powers might be able to pull that one off, but at this point I'm not really sure.
We try and get somewhere that we haven't got in previous conversations, so we don't go around in circles. We have these conversations every time we get you gentlemen in. And if Robert, I'm going to say this again, if Robert Richter cannot force a civil or a criminal case to be brought against some individuals or the government at whole, then if you've got him on board and he can't make it happen, you might as well throw your hands in the air, because that's where it's got to, hasn't it?
Well, we're not saying that he can't reach that point. What we're saying is that we haven't had the opportunity to sit down and talk this particular angle through with him, because he's absolutely tied up with the civil side of it, the matter. All his energies are tipped into that. He wants to get Ian compensated, and then he'll attack the criminal side of it, and he may well have ideas and strategies to get this before a court of law, and nothing would give us pleasure than to see these people put before a court and explain their actions and inactions and why they just didn't do their job.
So, Rod, we'll give you the Dorothy Dixer. Why has Robert Richter QC come on board in the first place?
Why has he come on
board? Yes, why is he part of this?
Because he believes in justice, and he believes in getting law and order...
And if he can be thwarted by the government, he's saying, nope, there's no case to answer here, move on. What can he do about it? That's my point. Ian.
Okay, I think Rod's absolutely right in everything he just said to you. The important thing to remember here is if this issue and the complaint made by myself on behalf of my employees to Victoria Police, if that goes to the Office of the Public Prosecutor, the Director of Public Prosecutions, I believe, is about the only person in this state where their decision is not reviewable. So if you want to change another law, guys, and you want to start a campaign, that should change. There is no administrative review. Now, we are not at that stage yet. You know what I hope? I hope that one day I have to come on your podcast and apologise to Shane Patton for saying that he wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
My fervent prayer is that they actually go and do something.
So do you think they've started a smear campaign just generally? Because I was speaking to someone about this the day before yesterday, and I was talking about I Cook Foods and the slug, and they said, well, you know, they found cockroaches in I Cook Foods premises. I said, it's news to me.
Never.
Person, friend of mine, a very nice man, and a very prominent man in community, he said, you know, they found cockroaches. I said, I don't think they found cockroaches. I've never heard that before. They found a slug in there that someone said was completely out of its general area of where slugs go. It couldn't survive on the sanitised floors. There was a piece of tissue which was taken out of the doctored in the airbrushed out of a photo. I didn't hear there was any cockroaches, and the place was infested with cockroaches. This is how they gradually give the general public, who are not across all this, the impression that, oh, no, no wonder they closed them down. And this is what this man said to me. He said, I'll have to investigate it further. I said, please, if there was in cockroaches, I said, that's the first I've ever heard of it.
Yes, well, anybody who thinks says anything like that, you're more than welcome to come down, have a look at the facility. I'll give them 10 years of Hayes pest control every single month, coming into our place, chlorine foggings, whatever.
But there were never any suggestion there was anything else other than a slug on the floor.
That's all.
Yes, that's right. So, Don, a rocket? Rod? Paul? I'm not sure how much further we can go with this unless you'd like to give us one final... say something that might just push this further. Go ahead, Rod.
Well, I don't know that I can.
No, there's still, as I say, we have these indeterminable chats about this, and we never get anywhere. Not because of your, but we're just trying to. We're putting it on Robert Richter to do something.
Well, putting it on the government, trying to.
No, don't put it on the government. They're not. They're trying to. As much as we push it, they're trying to back off it.
Maybe if I can just encapsulate.
Yes.
The whole scenario up to date, and to put it simply, there's more than ample direct evidence contained in the 16 folders prepared by us for the police to arrest, interview and bring criminal suspects in this matter. Now, it's not just Paul or I saying this. It's also the opinion of the original two detectives from Dandenong CIU that were given this original file for investigation. And they're two very ethical young men, these two detectives, who honoured their oath of office. And in a report to their superiors, they state that I Cook Foods have been treated maliciously. And they go on to name the persons of interest in the matter and the crimes that they allege they committed. And we've got a copy of this report.
Yep.
And these detectives were on the cusp of bringing these two criminals in for interview when the file was mysteriously taken from them and they were removed from the case.
Yeah, it's organised corruption, mate.
The file was redirected to an inspector at Moorabbin for review. And guess what?
Yep.
He too found that the investigation should continue.
And he was moved on?
Well, the file was moved on. Since then, it's been sent to a series of what I call time wasters, from individual to individual, office to office, for further assessment. What's to assess? It's all there. To be perfectly honest, as I said earlier, a junior constable would have very little difficulty in grasping what this file is about, formulating the offences and interviewing and charging the criminals involved. Now, I read yesterday that Victoria Police spent $31 million on lawyers in a year. $31 million. In my opinion, sending this file off for a legal opinion is just a total time-wasting exercise in what has become a charade. In any case, the file is incomplete. As late as yesterday, we were able to ascertain that a vital witness has not even been spoken to by the police investigators.
Yeah.
How many more are there?
No, because...
How do you get an opinion of value when the investigation is incomplete?
Because they're just going to, as we've said all along, for a year and a half, they're going to frustrate this and hope that the time clock will run out. They'll either get re-elected or they'll get bunted out of office, and they're just snowing you. The only thing positive thing that you've done since, not the only positive thing, you can't do any more positive things, is... I'm going to mention his name again. He's getting Robert Rick. If the veracity of that man is not lost on the community because he thinks there's something wrong, I don't know where you go from there. I'm not sure if we can go any further with this.
If I could just Paul, say this.
Detective Sergeant retired.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All we're asking for the police is just simply do your job without fear or favour. Don't be accountable to Daniel Andrews or the government, just be accountable to the law and do your job without fear or favour. It's that simple.
Okay, well, you can finally just say thank you. Retired Detective Sergeant Paul Brady and retired Inspector Rod Porter, thank you very much for an update on this. Final closing statement.
Just the last thing I'd like to add, and harks on from something Don had said earlier, is... After the interview where the Chief Commissioner said it was with the Assistant Commissioner, I rang Acting Inspector Grandy, who's the detective who supposedly was running this other investigation, the fourth investigation. All I asked was a simple question. I just said, look, you indicated to me that the file, your investigation, had gone to your Assistant Commissioner and to the Chief Commissioner. The Chief Commissioner told Neil Mitchell that he didn't have it. It was still with And I said, can you just fill me in? I'm the complainant. Can you just let me know what's going on here? So he abused me.
Abused you?
He abused me.
Really?
Right? And then he hung up on me.
Really?
This is how Victoria Police look after, how they deal with people who make complaints that they don't like. I'll leave
you with
that.
Boys, can I just, sorry, is this consistent when you were in the police force?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I've never, personally, I've never heard of this behaviour. Never. We never, ever spoke down to our victims like that. In fact, we used to ring them every day just to make sure that they were up to speed and if there was anything else we could do for them. I mean, it was just, this is just so foreign to us.
All right, now, boys, gentlemen, this is more grist for the mill, Rocket. It's extraordinary. So we'll leave it at that and we'll keep updated. If there's anything that comes to light in the weeks ensuing, we will do it.
Because you